Albany. Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, September 16th. I'm Ray Graff. Support for Medical Monday comes from CHP Berkshires, now enrolling children and families in Parent Child Plus, a home mentoring program for school-bound toddlers and their parents in Southern Berkshire County. CHPBerkshires.org to learn more. Joining us today to discuss breast health is Dr. Lynn Choi of Albany Med. Dr. Choi offers patients a comprehensive range of medical and surgical options to treat breast cancer and other breast diseases. If you have a question, call early, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Breast health today on Medical Monday. Dr. Choi and your calls coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Here on this Medical Monday once again is Dr. Lynn Choi of Albany Med. Dr. Choi specializes in breast surgery. She has advanced breast fellowship training and offers patients a comprehensive range of medical and surgical options to treat breast cancer and other breast diseases. She also sees patients who have an increased lifetime risk of breast cancer, and we'll talk about that today. She also sees patients who have an increased lifetime risk and is a skilled general surgeon, adept at performing gallbladder surgery, appendectomies, a host of other procedures. Today, we focus on breast health. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, and some people have already done that. voxpop@wamc.org is the email address, and the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Lynn Choi, welcome back. How are you?
I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you on the program. Thank you. Anything new at the shop? Anything going on?
Not much, but there's always advances with breast cancer, any breast issues. I did want to talk about what the FDA had to say about breast density.
And this was last year. So breast density is, explain why that's important first, and then let's go into the new FDA recommendations.
Excellent. So when you get a mammogram, they will obviously state anything that's suspicious, anything that looks okay, but the one thing, especially here in New York State, because the law here in New York State states that you have to identify the density of a woman, they will state the density of the woman. There's four categories. There's fatty, there's scattered, heterogeneously dense, and extremely dense. So every woman has some sort of density. It's how the breast tissue looks on mammogram. So if you looked at a mammogram, it's essentially an X-ray of the breast. The more black it looks, the better you can see right through. So your breasts are less dense.
And that's better?
Yes. So density can actually, the more dense you are, it slightly increases your risk of detecting breast cancer just because it's harder to detect. So that's why we're not getting mammograms or recommending them when you're 20, when you're 30, obviously in different scenarios, but the average risk woman. Because the younger you are, the more dense your breast tissue.
Oh.
And as you get older, it becomes replaced by fat. So an ideal breast mammogram or X-ray is really a postmenopausal woman because it tends to be less dense. So the reason why this is important, I get this question all the time at work or at parties.
Yeah. Really? Because those are the parties you want to go to, I'm sure, after a week of this.
Well, women ask, oh my gosh, my breasts are dense. What should I do? So if your breasts are heterogeneously dense or extremely dense, you should be getting an ultrasound in addition to your mammogram. So go ahead.
But you are at a greater risk of breast cancer the denser your breasts are as you go through life?
As you age, actually age is the biggest risk factor for cancer. The younger you are, you have a higher risk because you have so many decades ahead of you.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's a separate issue. As you get older and your breasts become less dense, mammograms are ideal to detect cancer.
Interesting. We are joined today by Dr. Lynn Choi of Albany Med. It's breast health today on Medical Monday. Our number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question, 800-348-2551. 2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Jill in Mountainville wrote in a while back, half hour ago, as a breast cancer survivor, 16 years and counting, I would like Dr. Choi to remind listeners that there are many different types of breast cancer, and they don't all present as a palpable lump. That's another reason why mammograms are so important. I never would have discovered my cancer through self-examination alone. It was only found through mammography, and that's from Jill in Mountainville.
Jill, congratulations on your 16-plus years. She's absolutely right. The beauty of a mammogram is it detects breast cancers very early, often that you can't even feel them.
Hmm. But, okay, so you had mentioned four different density types.
Yes.
And one was scattered. What does that mean?
So fatty is no density at all, okay? The next level higher up is scattered density. So a little bit dense, but not enough to warrant an ultrasound. 40% of the population have scattered densities. 10% have fatty. Then the next one that's more dense is heterogeneously dense. So you think a little bit harder for the mammograms to see.
Yeah.
That I would absolutely recommend ultrasounds. 40% of women have that, and then 10% have extremely dense breast tissue.
Now, you recommend an ultrasound.
Yes.
Insurance companies okay with that?
As long as you code it right and say what type of density you have.
And at what age are we? Now, let's talk. We talk about this every time you're on. The guidelines for mammograms, they have been in flux. I think they're pretty solidified the last couple of years since
Correct.
You have been on. What are the guidelines?
If you come to me as a breast surgeon, I follow the American College of Surgeon guidelines, which is also the American Society of Breast Surgeon guidelines, 40, and every year you get it. The United States Preventative Task Force, they just came out with a statement because last year they recommended 40 also. Before that, they were always recommending age 50.
Right.
Now they're saying 40 is definitely a possibility. They're recommending every 1 to 2 years. So if Jill went to a primary care physician who followed the United States Task Force a couple years ago, she would have gotten her mammogram at 50. These are for average risk women. If you come to me, I'll always say 40.
Let's talk about the risk factors very quickly here. We'll take a break, and then we'll go back to the phones and the emails. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email voxpop@wamc.org. It's Breast Health Today on Medical Monday with Dr. Lynn Choi. All right, let's talk about some of these guidelines that we've been talking about here.
So there's a difference. Everything that I've discussed now is for the average risk woman. Now we're going to talk about high risk women. Do you have any family history? Do you have a genetic disorder? These are all different things that can put you at higher risk. If you don't know or if you're unsure, go to your primary care doctor and say, hey, do I have an above risk? High risk is considered greater than lifetime risk of 20%. If you want to get a little deeper into this, if you're high risk, then we start offering additional imaging such as a breast MRI in addition to the mammogram.
What advantage does an MRI have over the others?
So mammogram, if any woman who gets a mammogram, there's an 87% sensitivity rate. That means that a mammogram will catch 87% of cancers. If you get an MRI, you're talking about mid-90%. So you're giving me this look like, hey, everyone should get an MRI.
That's exactly the look I was giving you.
So the answer is no, because if a woman gets an MRI, there is 4 to 8 times higher rate of false positives.
Oh.
So, you know, there's also a cost analysis and putting women through emotional burden of, oh my gosh, I need another biopsy. You know, this whole like horrible emotional difficulty ending up being benign because the sensitivity is higher. That's why MRIs are only recommended in certain cases. So I'll give you another thing.
And yeah.
The mammogram, when you get a mammogram, it's just like getting an X-ray. It's quick in and out. An MRI, I'm talking about a breast MRI, but if you get an MRI for the rest of your body, you're getting a contrast in your IV, so gadolinium. So there's really no research stating, oh, gadolinium is so bad for you. But if I'm giving a woman an MRI every year,
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, what they have found is that when they scan your brain, there's deposits of gadolinium in your brain.
So really?
Whether that will say, oh, this is something bad that correlates, but the fact that it is depositing, so.
Yeah.
But I just want the listeners here, because your listeners are very thoughtful, and that is, find out if you need an MRI. Don't demand an MRI. Just have a good conversation and say, do I need an MRI? Is this beneficial to me?
You would say you should have an MRI, right? You're the doc.
If you're high risk.
All right. And Nora writes in from the 413, does breastfeeding affect breast cancer risk?
So the simple way to tell patients of if you have higher risk or not, we ask a lot of different questions about hormone, how much hormones you get in your body.
Yeah.
How old did you get your period? When was your last period? How many times you were pregnant? So I tell patients, the less you've had your period, it's actually protective. So if you think about breastfeeding, typically you're not getting
right.
your period as fast. So we do think it is slightly protective.
Okay, now this seems counterintuitive to me, and of course I don't know much about this, but you say if you the less you have your period, mm-hmm. the better your chances are not of
slightly
not getting
more.
It.
Okay.
What about all those folks on the pill? And doesn't that stop the period as well?
But that's an excellent question. There's no data showing that over-the-counter birth control pills have any effect with risk for birth control. The next question that you or your other listeners might be asking me is, what about IVF and fertility? So that can definitely affect your hormone risk, but not enough to say there's a true link.
You know what? I like this whole modality you have here. You're asking the questions for me. I'll just sit quietly and let you do the whole show.
My fortune teller for the
future. I like it. Let's take a break here. Dr. Lynn Choi is our guest from Albany Med. It's breast health. We have some open lines at 800-348-2551. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back. Allman Brothers on Vox Pop. It's a Medical Monday, 800-348-2551. That's the telephone number if you have a question about breast health, 800-348-2551. Dr. Lynn Choi joins us once again from Albany Med. And, you know, we're talking about detecting breast cancer. But once it's detected, mm-hmm. well, before we get to that question, you mentioned it runs in families. It can run in families. There's a strong link. DNA tests, you good with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so if your DNA test comes up that you have the gene, whatever that gene happens to be, I mm-hmm. forget, then some people will automatically say, okay, I want to have mastectomy.
Yes.
You into that idea, or do you counsel against it?
So everything that I say on this session is all supported by the American Society of Breast Surgeon guidelines. There's
yeah.
different... First off, 10% of breast cancers are a genetic cause. So that means that someone from your family, your mom or dad, passed down a gene that puts you at higher risk for breast cancer. There's different types of genes. We categorize it as moderate risk gene, meaning you have a 30 to 50% lifetime risk of breast cancer. High risk gene, 70 to 90% chance of breast cancer.
Wow.
So the high risk genes that the majority of people are aware of are called the BRCA genes.
Right.
If you have a BRCA gene and you come to me and you don't have breast cancer, I will absolutely discuss strict imaging surveillance, or I'll offer you bilateral prophylactic mastectomies. Prophylactic meaning doing the mastectomies in anticipation of preventing your lifetime risk. That's the BRCA genes. That's a high-risk gene. The other... genes that I talked about are moderate risk genes, 30 to 50%. Some of those genes include CHEK2, CHEK number 2, ATM, ATM, PALB2, different moderate risk genes. If you come to me and you ask for a prophylactic mastectomy, we're going to have a discussion, and I probably will try to dissuade you from that.
Interesting. Now, when the prophylactic mastectomies are done, it is for a high-risk reason. Let's talk about outcomes. I assume they are done so that the cancer doesn't metastasize throughout the body, right?
So if you come to me with a high-risk gene, the point is to prevent you from ever having a breast cancer. We're talking down to single-digit percentages.
But if you do that surgery,
mm-hmm.
how are the outcomes? Do people end up getting cancer anyway?
Rarely.
Rarely.
Very low.
So it's a very successful.
Absolutely.
We're joined today by Dr. Lynn Choi of Albany Med. The number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. We'll go to the phones in 1 second. This email from Rachel. I'm 47 and average risk for breast cancer, no family history of breast cancer. About 3 years ago, my annual mammogram showed dense breast tissue, and I was scheduled for dense breast ultrasound. I'm sorry, I don't know what level of dense. My insurance claims it will never be covered since it is considered diagnostic. I have talked through every step of the process from doctor's office through billing and insurance. Is there any wiggle room in getting the ultrasound every year, possibly mammogram every year, ultrasound every two? And that's from Rachel.
Rachel, on your statement, if you're in New York State, since they require the level of to state what kind of density you have. If you're heterogeneous or extremely dense, your insurance company should cover it. If you're having difficulty from your primary care or gynecologist's office, you could always see a breast doctor, and we're used to coding it to make sure it passes if you need it.
Okay, one more breast density question before we hit the phones. This is from Kat. Kat says, the report of my mammogram says I have dense breast tissue. Should I ask my doctor what category of dense tissue I have?
Sure. Why not? More knowledge is better. I always tell patients, there's this great campaign online called Choosing Wisely. If you look this up, it's a campaign to empower the patient. It goes through different diseases. It has a section on breast cancer. It has a section on prostate. It has a section on everything. 5 important questions to ask your doctor. You should always never feel, oh, is this uncomfortable? Is this too much to ask the doctor? I think if you have more knowledge, you're able to better treat yourself better.
We're joined by Dr. Lynn Choi of Albany Med. Let's go to the phones on this Medical Monday, 800-348-2551. Marie is in Albany. Hello, Marie, you're on. It's not a good start. Marie, are you there? Hello? All right, well, maybe Marie will call back then. I apologize for hanging up, which is what I just did. Carol in Brimfield, Massachusetts, you're on.
Yes, hi. I also had a question about the breast density. I get my mammograms religiously every year, and then they send me a letter that says, you know, your breasts are dense. Basically, we could miss something. So I asked my primary care, and she said, okay. So she gave me the order for the ultrasound. And as far as insurance, I've heard the other questions. My experience with insurance is if the doctor gives you an order, a written order, to have the ultrasound, then they will pay for it. But you need to have the doctor's order. That's the key. But I was wondering, should I get a mammogram every year along with an ultrasound? Or back to the other question, or should I get an ultrasound every 2 years? Or what should I do?
You should find out what density you have. If you're heterogeneously or extremely dense, you should absolutely get an ultrasound. I think it's convenient to get a mammogram and ultrasound at the same time because they can be used to correlate any findings together. If someone puts in the order in for you for an ultrasound, it does not automatically mean that it's covered. It has to be coded correctly.
Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of hesitant about the insurance because it really depends on what insurance you have and what they require. But the bottom line for me was get the doctor's order and we'll do it. And I know other women have tried unsuccessfully to get the ultrasound order from their primary care. That's where they have the most resistance. But even OBGYN doctors are saying, well, no, you don't really need that. And some people I know are pressing for it, you know. So I just wondered from you, since you're the physician, what your feeling was about that. And I think I have my answer now. So, okay. So I should get the density question answered.
Yep.
And then if it is more dense,
yes.
What was the word you used?
Heterogeneously dense or extremely dense, you should be getting an ultrasound.
Okay. All right.
Every year along with the mammogram.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Carol, thanks for the call. It's Medical Monday on WAMC. By the way, the lockbox is open. We have an October fund drive coming up. It is election season, and we would like to be on the air with news and information as much as we can. Nevertheless, we have a lockbox because we want to shorten that fund drive, which happens in mid-October. So if you want to make a pledge, you're into what you hear at WAMC. You go to WAMC.org, you make a secure online pledge, premiums, et cetera, there. And we thank you in advance. We're joined today by Dr. Lynn Choi of Albany Med. Our number is 800-348-2551. And we'll go to Sue in Cambridge. Sue, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I used to be Marie.
Oh, is that you? What happened?
He took my name wrong.
Oh.
So I didn't respond because it wasn't my name.
I'm sorry, Sue, but Marie and Sue sound nothing the same. So I don't, what are you doing over there? Bob, Bob says it's his fault. All right, go ahead.
It's good. I had breast cancer 26 years ago at age 43, not detected by a mammogram, 5-centimeter tumor. I've had my genetics tested for 75 alleles, all negative. I have three daughters. One just turned 40, just had her first mammogram. The other one was 37, 34. So they don't really have a genetic risk. I was the first in my family. And I'm just wondering about this density question. What advice you would give for me to give to them?
Congratulations on being 26 years plus. That's an amazing milestone to hit. It's good you did your genetic testing. Because yours is negative, I don't recommend your daughters get it because they'll probably be negative unless on the other side, the partner has a strong family history. For them, they can always get their risk calculated if they go to any breast specialist. We always do a risk calculator to figure out what their risk is depending on the different things. They are at slightly higher risk because you had breast cancer premenopausal. So then the other thing is, other questions that we ask your daughter, because density does affect it, we figure out their density, then we figure out their reproductive history, and then together with the risk calculator, a number usually pops up.
Okay. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sue or Marie or whatever, thank you. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. That's the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Lynn Choi is with us from Albany Med. Well, we've talked about the nuclear option, if you will, and that would be the double mastectomy. Is there a partial mastectomy? I mean, is that something that you do regularly?
Absolutely. There's two main types of surgery for breast cancer. It's usually a lumpectomy, which is a partial mastectomy, just a lump of your breast, versus a mastectomy, which is greater than 90% of the breast tissue removed.
But a partial, lumpectomy, if you will, is it possible for your diagnostics to see all the potential cancer cells? In other words, you'll see with an MRI some, but is the acuity of that fine enough to see every cell that might spread?
That's a great question. So if we're talking about a breast cancer patient and they come to me and they don't have a high risk, so I'm not recommending genetics or their genetics are negative, then the options for the surgery that I recommend for an invasive cancer is either a lumpectomy and checking the lymph nodes or a mastectomy and checking the lymph nodes. The only thing is, with a lumpectomy, you still have the rest of your breast tissue, and there's never a 100% chance. Lumpectomies thus always go hand in hand with radiation. So if you do everything that's recommended for a lumpectomy surgery, we say breast conserving surgery versus a mastectomy, the breast conserving surgery always goes hand in hand with radiation. So after you have radiation and, you know, whatever else is recommended, if you compare both groups, there's no disease-free survival benefit.
Interesting. Now, when you are making that decision, I assume there's a careful calculus involved, and it must have something to do with family history and maybe a DNA test or anything else. The lumpectomies can work, but how often do they go to keep going beyond what you are trying to fix?
So the difference between the lumpectomy and mastectomy, there's no disease-free survival benefit. So who, let's say patient A who chooses the breast-conserving surgery will still live to 90, okay? But the same person A who does a mastectomy will still live to 90. The only difference is the level of recurrence. Because there's still breast tissue in that patient, the level of recurrence is a little bit more, but not enough to push all these women to get mastectomies.
Dr. Lynn Choi is our guest today from Albany Med. It's Breast Health Today, 800-348-2551. We'll go back to the phones in a second. Tara in Sharon, Connecticut. BRCA gene is the subject heading. If a mom does not have the BRCA gene, does that automatically mean that the daughters will not have it?
So there's always the other part of the...
So the father can bring that along?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
So when we ask for a family history, we ask both sides. If someone says, oh, my grandmother had breast cancer, we always ask maternal, paternal side. If you're sent to a genetic counselor because we think you should get genetic testing, they go through this whole intense family tree.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, let's go back to our phone lines. We'll go to Clifton Park. Krista, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I had a quick question. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have dense breasts, so I just went recently for my mammogram and my ultrasound, and they just called me today to say that they found a difference on my mammogram, but my ultrasound was completely fine and normal. So I thought that was odd that there'd be something on the mammogram, but the ultrasound would be okay, so now I have to go back for, I guess, a more intensive ultrasound. Does that sound right?
Yes. This happens. So a mammogram is actually the best modality to look for calcifications or any sort of asymmetry. Ultrasounds are good for masses. So just to get into technical terms, when any person gets breast imaging, it's always categorized. So it's called BI-RADS. You're going to be given a number. So 1, 2 are benign, 3... You see something benign, it looks really benign, just short-term imaging. 4, you need a biopsy. 5, oh my gosh, you're going to get a biopsy. It's going to be cancer. 6 is, we already know it's cancer. What you're talking about is you went in for screening imaging because you did not have any complaints. They took your images and then you went home. And then the radiologist reviews and saw something on mammogram and they're, sometimes there's not a correlate. That's called a BI-RAD zero, meaning you got to come back so we can do more dedicated imaging. Either there is no correlate, or if you get more of an ultrasound, sometimes there actually is a correlate.
Krista.
Okay.
Does that answer your
All
question?
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the
Thank
call.
Thank you so much.
Very much. So there can be false positives on mammograms.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and which is more accurate, the ultrasound or the MRI or the mammogram? Where are you going to get less false positives? Because I believe that would be a huge stress for everyone. You don't want to answer that?
I will just say mammogram is standard. And if you need more imaging, you might be added an ultrasound first, and then if that's not enough, then the MRI will go on. I just don't want to say certain things because people may be saying, I want an MRI and demand.
Oh, I hear you.
Yes.
Okay. Have you been lawyered up for this show?
Not yet.
All right. Fair enough. Let's go to Rhinebeck and Christine. You're on.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi. Yeah. So I'm 57, obviously postmenopausal. I did that all cold turkey, and recently I went on estrogen and progesterone just based on the research I've been hearing with heart health and bone health and brain health, and I actually feel great, but I just want to know if there's any correlation with starting these hormones later on after postmenopausal, any correlation with that in developing breast cancer. I don't have a family history. I do, however, have dense breast tissue. I don't know what category, but I always, you know, I'm always following up with an ultrasound, and everything seems to be fine. So
can I ask you what form of hormone you're taking, pill, patch, or cream?
I'm doing a patch with estrogen and a pill with progesterone.
So there's a slight association with these hormone replacement therapies the longer you're on it. So when I have women like you come in, they always ask the question that you're asking. Is this okay? My gynecologist wants your approval. So it's really balancing quality of life. If you're miserable and you need to take it for a couple of years, that's fine. I always tell patients to kind of reassess after you've been on it for a couple of years, to have the mentality to slowly wean. Because the longer you're on it, we're talking 5 to 10 years, there's a slight link. If you're talking about a hormonal replacement cream, we're fine with that. So a lot of postmenopausal women can have vaginal dryness, have issues with sexual dysfunction. Creams are totally appropriate. That's because the systemic absorption with creams are far less than patches and pills.
Right. So you said after 5 years?
Yeah, I would say after 3 to 5 years, you should have a discussion with your gynecologist. Hey, maybe we should try to wean off of this.
Right. Okay, great. Well, I just started like a month ago, so
okay.
I just wanted to know.
Christine, right. Thanks for the call. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. Dr. Lynn Choi joins us from Albany Med. Breast Health Today. We'll be back. Vox Pop, it's Medical Monday. Ray Graff with you. We're joined today again by Dr. Lynn Choi of Albany Med, Breast Health Today. And before we get back to the phones, we were talking just now in the break about risk assessments and how you work with gynecologists sort of to set those parameters.
So I find that the majority of patients that are referred to me are from gynecologists. A lot of women who have breast issues, they often go to their gynecologist first. They're the ones ordering the breast imaging. And then after, if there's any issue, they send them to us. We were just talking about this, but there's a famous actress, Olivia Munn, and who's, if people don't know her, she is married to John Mulaney, the comedian.
Okay.
She had her mammogram. That was negative. Her gynecologist used the Tyrer-Cuzick risk model, T-Y-R-E-R-Cuzick, C-U-Z-I-K. You put in, all the different risk factor questions that we discussed earlier, and her gynecologist calculated that her lifetime risk was greater than 20%. So then anything greater than 20%, you're going to get a mammogram and you're going to get an MRI and you're going to get it staggered. So you get some sort of imaging every 6 months. She ended up getting her MRI, and that was what caught her breast cancer early.
And how did they treat?
So she ended up getting a bilateral mastectomy, which in certain cases is recommended. I will say a lot of my patients who are young, even if I don't recommend the bilateral mastectomies because there's no disease-free survival benefit, they will say, Dr. Choi, I just can't sleep at night. This is what I want. I understand what you're recommending. And, I listen to that. I can't understand what they're going through because I've never been through that. But after much discussion, if that's what they want, then we proceed with that. And I believe that's what Olivia Munn did. But one other thing I want to address is if you are high risk and you end up getting mammograms and MRIs on a regular basis, I actually drop the ultrasound. So...
Interesting.
Your eyes are...
Well, I'm confused by so many diagnostic tools, but continue.
So... MRIs are the most sensitive breast imaging for dense breast tissue.
Okay.
It's only recommended if you need it. High risk, dense breast tissue, usually. If you get an MRI, then I just drop the ultrasounds.
All right. Now, let me ask you a question about postmenopause, and then we'll go back to the phones. Anne in Albany, you'll be next. So, as I understand the risk factors, if the less periods you have, the risk is somewhat reduced. Now, when you have menopause, there are no more periods involved. But isn't the time when people get breast cancer after menopause? And also the density goes down. So why is it more people get it later on?
So the majority of these patients still have ovaries, so you're still getting hormones produced. And women come to me, oh, I got a hysterectomy, my ovary's out. Actually, one of the largest parts of your body that produces hormones is fat cells. So you can get that. And you're right. The average age of breast cancer diagnosis is postmenopausal, around 62.
Yeah. Let's go back to our phones now. Dr. Lynn Choi is our guest. 800-348-2551 is that number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll check the email bag in a little bit. Anne is in Albany. Go ahead.
Anne, can you hear me?
You were on a cell phone or something, just turn maybe 30 to 45 degrees because we're having a tough time with your signal.
Okay.
Can you hear me now? Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'm a high-risk patient, two daughters with breast cancer. I have had breast cancer twice. I am an older woman. I'm in my 90s. I have been getting mammograms faithfully. And now, in my last visit to my breast cancer doctor, I was told I no longer needed mammograms. I'm still a viable 90-year-old and don't want to be walking around with breast cancer if I have it. I wonder what your take on this is.
So I think I agree with your breast doctor. So the American Society of Breast Surgeon guidelines states that you should continue getting mammograms until you think they don't have 10 more years of life left, which I can't predict that. And it sounds like you're an excellent 90, so age is just a number. If you think you're robust and have a decade left easily, then I would be recommending the mammograms to you. But I think that's why your breast doctor probably didn't recommend any more mammograms. However, the one thing you still need to do is get at least yearly clinical breast exams.
I do that with my oncologist.
Excellent.
Of course. But I still would prefer to get the mammogram and know that I'm well.
If you came to me and we discussed this and I said, oh, you don't need mammograms, but you really wanted one, I'm happy to order that for you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Ann, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Good luck. 800-348-2551. You know, the women in my life over the years who have been willing to talk about these things say it hurts like hell. Isn't there any better way or easier way than a mammogram?
Not yet. If you can create that, you'd be a billionaire.
Really? I've been radio. I don't really make that as.
I will preface that mammograms are not overly painful and it's more of a pressure. I will give you a pro tip. If you get a mammogram and that mammotech did an excellent job, remember their name and request them.
Give them a tip?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. The number is 800-348-2551. This email from Marie. My doctor was able to have my ultrasounds and mammo 6 months apart because I had dense breasts and a family history. Aunts on both sides of the family. I like this option because there was a check every 6 months. I had triple negative breast cancer found in a routine ultrasound, and then it was followed immediately that day by a mammo. Just sharing that this option worked well for me. Cancer found early and treated 12 years ago. So that's a good.
Good job, Ann.
All right, this is from Trish, and then we'll go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Trish writes, I'm a 71-year-old woman who had for years been told my breasts were dense, greater than 50%. This year, for the first time, the letter said they're not dense, but scattered fibroglandular. This is the first time I asked for an ultrasound. Confusing, to say the least. I have family history on both sides of the family. I did get my boy to order an ultrasound, and it was okay. Should I continue to do both? Thank you. And that's from Trish.
As you get older, your density should get less. So going from dense to scattered is not surprising. I have patients like you all the time, and then I don't recommend ultrasounds because if you're minimally dense or scattered, mammograms are great. You can see right through.
Interesting. What is it about density that makes you at a greater risk? Just you can't find it easily?
Yes, correct. if I wish I could show you a visual, but between a dense breast and a non-dense breast,
yeah,
because you can really see with a non-dense breast, it's easier to look right through.
The number here is 800-348-2551. I'm not sure who's on line two, but we'll go to line one. Jim in Matamoros. Jim, you're on.
Are there any viruses being used to make medications more easily penetratable into cells?
Are viruses, did you say?
Yeah.
Yes, there's a bunch of research in the whole medical field doing this. I remember in college we tried to work on vascular diseases with adenoviruses, but this is a different topic.
Okay. Well, Jim, thanks a lot. Appreciate it very much. Dr. Lynn Choi is our guest. Caroline is in Lee, Massachusetts. Go ahead, Caroline, your turn.
Hi. Thank you. I am 75 years old. 21 years ago, I was treated for breast cancer, the hormone-sensitive one, given adriamycin cytoxin, which is was very much the normal treatment at that time. I had that's chemo. And about a year and a half ago, I suddenly wound up in the hospital, and they're telling me, you have heart failure. And I'm sitting there saying, I am underweight. My blood pressure is low. I don't have diabetes. I've never smoked. Why do I have heart trouble? They didn't know. And they started treating me like a typical 75-year-old woman, which I'm not. And it was finally my cancer people who said, adriamycin damages the lower left-hand section of the heart. And I have, I couldn't get the cardio people in my area to get that at all. And I finally had to go back to the cancer center where I was treated before they could figure out what was going on and could hear me. So I think that women who were treated when I was treated need to know that.
Absolutely. When we have patients who need chemotherapy, our oncologists are very thorough talking about any heart side effects, any neuropathy, a whole slew of side effects. And if you do end up having a cardiac side effect, there's actually cardiologists who specialize in cardio-oncology, so that's a good option to look into.
To do was get a second opinion and change all of this, but it kind of freaked me out.
Yeah.
That nobody told me about it 20 years ago, and I don't think they knew about it 20 years ago, and that these heart departments are treating women and they don't who've had breast cancer, and they literally don't know about this. And the only way you can deal with it is if the patient knows.
Thank you for being, for advocating for yourself. That's very important.
Caroline, thanks for the call. You know, just a little inside baseball here, Dr. Choi. Sometimes there are calls when there are things going on in the background, and I desperately want to know what's making all the noise in the background. And that was one. Was it some kind of a steam engine or something?
No, I envisioned her with like a spoon clicking ready to eat lunch after. Ah. She, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you could always wait for the call. That's an option. Let's go to Nick in Schenectady. Nick, you're on.
Yeah, hi, doctor. I was searching on Google about the how people, how young ladies and women digest lipstick, and they claim that they're claiming in pounds. They're saying a year a lady can go 4 to 9 pounds of lipstick a year. And I was wondering, first of all, I got a couple of questions. Can the lipstick be excreted from the body?
I got it. Well, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm not very familiar with cosmetics or any research discussing. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, that, you know, every time you eat or drink, you're taking in an element of lipstick. And they said there's lead in lipstick now.
You can buy cosmetics that are holistic or, I'm not sure, special.
Okay.
No,
well,
chemicals.
Nick, we're going to have to leave that one, but that's an interesting question. Let's go to Clifton Park. And Sandy, you're on with Dr. Lynn Choi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just diagnosed with lumpectomy, and I'm going to the Albany Breast Center. I just had an MRI today, and the doctor there suggested that I'm probably going to have radiation. I've been looking at some radiation, and I was reading about SAVI or SAVI radiation that's very targeted. Can you tell me more? I know that my daughter had like 20 sessions of radiation with a lumpectomy, and I read that with SAVI, you can get along with 5. I'm more interested in targeted radiation. Can you respond to that, please?
So standard treatment for any sort of breast cancer with a lumpectomy is to have radiation. Traditionally, it's more whole breast radiation. In certain centers, they do use targeted. And I think you brought up a 5-day course. So that's a new thing that's been offered in the last couple years. It's called the UK FAST protocol. Usually, radiation is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for 4 to 6 weeks. This is another protocol where it's higher doses to be given in a week. But this is pretty complex. We have to know, like, what kind of breast cancer pathology and stuff. And this would be a more targeted question that you could ask your radiation oncologist.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sandy, thanks so much. Let's quickly go out to dear old Del Mar. It's Barbara. You're on with Dr. Lynn Choi.
Hi, thank you very much. I just wanted to share with you that I am part of a clinical study because I had been diagnosed with breast cancer and I had a lumpectomy, and it's just been 5 years. I'm in full remission, thank goodness. But when I had the procedure, I am part of a clinical study to prove that women who have a lumpectomy do not necessarily have to have radiation or chemo. So I did not. And what I was put on was, mine was estrogen positive, which I don't know if that makes a difference, but I had been put on estrogen blockers for the 5 years, which of course I don't have to take anymore. And I'm doing fine, thank God, and I'm clean. And I just wanted to bring that up because I know the gold standard is, with a lumpectomy, you have to have radiology, but I'm part of the proof that that's not necessarily so.
Actually, that's a great point you bring up, because in general with a lumpectomy, it's traditionally goes hand in hand with radiation, but certain scenarios, depending on the type of breast cancer, different properties, how big, how small, if you're going to take the hormone pill or not, then radiation is a plus or minus. How many years ago were you treated again?
5 years.
Yes. So
five
in certain,
years this month.
So you probably had excellent prognosis, and your whole team together decided you didn't need radiation. Absolutely. That's a case scenario.
All right, Barbara, thanks a lot. Very quickly to Amherst. Eliza, you're on.
Hi, my name is Eliza. I had HER2-positive breast cancer with a lumpectomy, radiation, and chemo 7 years ago, and I've had no problem since. I took the estrogen blocker pills for 5 years, and I've gotten the different opinions from oncologists and gynecologists about whether estrogen cream, vaginal cream, is okay or not. What do you think?
It's okay. You can absolutely use it. Minimal systemic absorption.
All right, quickly, now we only have about 15, 20 seconds for this question. Diana, very quickly, go ahead.
My question is about mutations that are on the same genetic marker where the BRCA mutation would be that are, I had a mutation that my doctor considered to be deleterious because my grandmother also had it and she died of ovarian cancer. And then other doctors have said, no, because it's not the BRCA mutation, you don't need to worry about it. I've had very different opinions.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on
that? Okay.
So you can have a BRCA gene, and with a genetic counselor, you'll figure out if it's pathogenic, meaning you do have that increased lifetime risk. Sometimes it's not pathogenic, and it's a variant of unknown significance. So this is a great question to discuss with your genetic counselor.
All right. Well, we are now up against it. Dr. Lynn Choi, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time. Support
Absolutely.
Comes from Upstart. semi-professional broadcaster. Here, let's try it again. Support comes from Upstate Dermatology. For more than 30 years, a medical team providing diversified dermatologic services, including medical, surgical, and cosmetic. 5 locations in the Capital Region and serving Western Massachusetts. UpstateDerm.com. I'm the upstart. Thanks again to Dr. Lin Choi for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the call. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. We will do this topic again and again over the years. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Bob Rathman screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we head outdoors with the folks from the New York State DEC. We'll do that tomorrow at 2. I'm your semi-professional broadcaster, now signing off.